Hare Krishna, can you hear my voice? Am I audible? Okay, let's start. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminath Namini. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhara Shiva Sati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So thank you all very much for joining today's session. We have been discussing from yesterday. Actually, we did complete the 10th chapter of the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The chapter was titled as The 10 Types of Creation. We saw initially Maitreya talks about the nature of time, the characteristics of time. After being requested by Vidura, and after that he describes about the 10 types of creation. He says there are 10 types of creation. Six are Prakrita Sarga, primary creation, which is created by Mahavishnu, and three are Vaikrita Sarga, which is carried out by Brahmaji, about which we have been discussing the last few days. So Vaikrita Sarga consists of three prominent types of creation: Utsrotaha, Arvak Srotaha, Antirascham. Horizontal processors and the two types of vertical processors. That's how Brahmaji's creation is interestingly divided. And within that, we saw the subdivisions. And the 10th creation is mixed creation, which involves both Brahmaji and the Supreme Lord. An example is the four Kumaras. So this is mixed Prakrita and Vaikrita Sarga. So after describing these kinds of Prakrita and Vaikrita Sarga, finally Maitreya ends this chapter by telling, "Now I shall describe to you the dynasties and the Manvantaras and the periods of Manu and how actually it is the Supreme Lord, even though I have created Brahma to be I have described Brahma to be a creator, but you should understand ultimately the Supreme Lord only either empowers Brahma or when there is no suitable person available to perform the role of Brahma, he himself becomes Brahma and he creates himself in the form of this material universe. So that you should understand. Srijami tanniyuktoham haro harati tadvashah vishvam purusharupena paripati trishakti drik. As Krishna, as the Lord mentions, sorry, Brahmaji himself mentions in the second canto, the Lord only empowers me to create, he only expands as Lord Shiva to destroy, and he himself maintains in his form as Paramatma, like that. So this is where we ended our discussion yesterday. So today we will start with the 11th chapter of the 10th canto and see how far we can get. So this chapter is titled as The Description of Time by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada titles this chapter as Calculation of Time from the Atom. Okay. So let us see. So basically, this is based on basic physics. Velocity equals distance by time. So if you want to understand the divisions of time, then you measure distance. If you have an object which is moving at constant velocity, then if you can measure the distance covered, if you can understand the divisions of distance, then you can calculate time. So time can be calculated from distance and velocity. So now the object which moves with constant velocity is the sun. So based on the distance covered by the sun, you can understand the divisions of time. So the description of the time is based on distance, because you have the sun which is covering distance with a constant velocity. This is the principle. Okay. So now, Maitreya continues his discussion. Maitreya says, Maitreya uvacha charamah sadvisheshanam aneko asamyutasada paramanuhu savigneyo nrinam aikya brahmo yataha. So now, there is, just like there is milli, centi, etc. with respect to distance, there is milli, centi, etc. with respect to time also. Okay. So even though the chapter is titled as divisions of time or calculation of time, actually he will be describing about the divisions of distance. Okay. Because if you know distance and if you have an object which is covering that distance with a constant velocity, you can calculate time. That is the principle. Okay. So now, just like we have millimeter, centimeter, etc., similarly we have millisecond, nanosecond, centisecond. Even though centisecond is not so much in usage, but you have microsecond, you have micrometer. You have millisecond, you have millimeter, you have second, you have meter. Okay, like that, you know. So you have corresponding, you know, units of distance is there along with time. So if you calculate the distance, then accordingly you can understand the divisions of time. So anyways, let us try to see some examples to get a hang of what is being discussed here. So here he says, paramanuhu, paramanuhu sa vigneyo. The paramanu is understood sad visheshanam charamaha, to be the smallest particle of the material elements. Okay. Charamaha means the smallest. Sad visheshanam charamaha. The paramanu is understood to be the smallest particle of material elements. Okay. So smallest means it's a description of distance, right? Anekaha, and there are many, many paramanus. Asamyutaha sada, and they are always uncombined. Nrinam aikyo aikya brahmo yataha, because of their small size, men are mistaken identifying them with small particles that they can see. So actually a paramanu cannot be seen with naked eye, but sometimes human beings make the mistake of identifying the smallest particle that they can see to be the paramanu. But in reality, paramanu is so small and subtle that the paramanu cannot be seen. Okay. Here we are talking about paramanu with respect to the distance size. Okay. So, and there are innumerable such particles, they are always uncombined. So he says, finding the nature of the subtle time difficult to describe, Maitreya first describes the divisions of matter. Okay. Divisions of time will be discussed by discussing the divisions of matter. Distance of divisions of matter means distance. The smallest division of parts of material elements is called the paramanu. Okay. Why is charama in the singular, indicating only one particle when there are many? So why only singular is used when there are many, many paramanus? The answer is that even though the particles are many, to understand about the subtle nature of time, it is appropriate to isolate one particle and thus the singular is used. But still, the one particle should by its nature be either combined or uncombined. The verse therefore says that it is not joined. We are not talking about the joined atoms. We are talking about the individual paramanus. Okay. So, anyways, this particle is understood to be the paramanu. This means that it cannot be seen. Then what is its size? From these particles which arise, Men make a mistake concerning what constitutes single particle because they identify it with the smallest particle that they can see, but Paramanu cannot be seen. One perceives the very small particles of light which are seen in the rays of the sun shining through a lattice window and thinks, oh, here is one particle, here is another fine particle, so these must be the Paramanu. Like that, they think. But in reality, we will see that those particles are called as rasarenu. We will see that in the coming verses. But real Paramanu cannot be seen. A sixth part of that light particle is a Paramanu, but it is invisible. So 1/6 of that visible particle is a Paramanu. And it cannot be seen. If you see, you know, when the sun rays are passing through a particular window, then you will see some small particles rising up, right? Those particles are oftentimes people think that that is the smallest particle that I can see, though that must be the Paramanu. But in reality, that is not Paramanu. That is actually called as Trasarenu, which is 6 times the size of Paramanu. So Paramanu is 1/6 the size of that particle which can be seen, which is called as the Trasarenu. So men are mentioned because some small insects the size of a Trasarenu can see this particle. So there are some small insects which are the size of Trasarenu. They can see Paramanus, but men cannot see. Just like the bats can hear sounds of higher and lower frequencies. Higher or lower, I don't exactly remember. But human beings cannot. You know, there is a particular decibel range within which human beings can hear only those sounds. But there are other animals which can hear, decibels, outside actually the decibel range which human beings can hear. Okay. So now we have seen that the Paramanu is the smallest particle. Satayeva padarthasya swarupa avasthitasya yat kaivalyam paramamahan avishesho nirantaraha. Okay. So he says kaivalyam, the totality, sataha eva padarthasya, the totality of all the Paramanus. So now he is talking about, he spoke about the smallest unit of distance. Now he is going to describe the largest conceivable unit of distance, which is called as Parama Mahan. Okay. Anoraniyan Mahato Mahiyan. Anor means small. Anu. This is Paramanu, the smallest of the smallest. Mahato Mahiyan. Mahat means great. This is called as Paramamahan. Paramamahan means the greatest unit of distance. Okay. When all the Paramanus that one can conceive in this universe is put together, that is called as which exists separately before dissolution. So before dissolution, when all the matter of the universe is all together at one place, that is called as Paramamahan. That is called as Paramamahan. With no examination of particular qualities and separate objects. So this is, you can say, Avisheshaha Nirantaraha. So the pradhan which has all the universal ingredients put together in one place in an undifferentiated state, the size of that is said to be the Paramamahan. So here he says the Paramanu has been described as the smallest particle. Now the greatest state of matter is described. The state of oneness of the Paramanu of the particles of matter, which is its state previous to transformation into the condition of pralaya, is called Paramamahan. Okay. How can all objects which are mutually different with various qualities become one? There is earth, water, fire, air, ether, and a combination of them in multiple proportions which create various different objects. How can all these become one? So he says, there is no sense of distinct qualities and no sense of different particles or objects. It is the totality of all matter. That is the meaning of Parama Mahan. The totality of all matter, you know, that is called as Parama Mahan. So he says, so he has now described the smallest distance and the largest distance. Okay, the smallest unit of distance and the largest unit of distance. Now he says, Evam kalopyanumitaha saukshme staulye cha sattama samsthana bhuktya bhagavan avyakto vyakta bhuk vibhu. O sattama, O best of men Vidura, evam samsthana, just as matter, saukshme staulye cha anumitaha, just as the matter has been described to have very fine and very huge states, kalopi anumitaha. Time also should be similarly understood to have such divisions of very, very subtle and very, very gross, very huge. Samsthana Bhuktya, pervading the states of Paramanu and Parama Mahan by his Shakti. Bhagavan Avyaktaha, the Lord, even though invisible, Vyakta Bhug, he delimits this material realm and pervades it. Okay. So the Lord is Anoraniyan Mahato Mahiyan. Okay. So the Lord as Paramatma is, you know, is smaller than the smallest. But at the same time, the Lord as the whole material manifestation in the form of, you know, the Mahavishnu, you know, in whose bodily pores all these universes are residing. You can say, the Lord pervades the whole thing. He is Anoraniyan in the form of Shirodaka Sai Vishnu, and he is Mahatomahiyan in the form of Karanodaka Sai Vishnu. He is covering the whole gamut of, you know, the you can say the spectrum of distances is all covered by the Supreme Lord from the Paramanu to Parama Mahan is all covered by the Supreme Lord. Now he says that time can be understood in a manner similar to the existence of very fine and very great particles of matter. How do these extreme dimensions arise? By pervading through the finest and greatest states of matter by his Shakti, the Supreme Lord, by nature unseen, limits this whole universe. Okay, from Paramanu to Paramahan, everything is covered by the Supreme Lord. He then pervades it all. Vibhu can also mean that he is skillful in matters of creation and other acts. Sakalaha Paramanurvai Yobum te Paramanutam Sato Avishesha Bhugyastu Sakalaha Paramo Mahan. Yaha bhungte paramanutam, the time expended for the sun to go a distance of one paramanu, saha kalaha paramanutaha, is called a paramanu of time. Okay. So one paramanu of time is equal to one paramanu distance divided by velocity of sun. Okay. So this is, let's say, meters divided by meters per second. Meters, meters. So this will become second. So time, right? So he says that time expended for the sun to go a distance of one paramanu is called a paramanu of time. Whatever time it takes, of course, that cannot be physically measured by us because we cannot see a Paramanu. So it is generally deduced. Okay, this is generally deduced from understanding the higher units of time. We will understand this little later, as and when you are covering this chapter. Yastu sato avishesha bhuk, and the time expended from one dissolution to the next. Sahakalaha paramo mahan is called as param mahan. The time that it takes from one dissolution to the next dissolution. Okay. So that time is called the parama mahan of time. So this verse explains the phrase by pervading the smallest and largest elements. That time which elapses for the sun to pass over the form of the Paramanu is called Paramanu of time. As will be understood from the explanation in relation to the planets and constellations in verse 13, whatever time it takes the sun to cross over a Paramanu is called a Paramanu of time or the smallest division of time. That which pervades the whole material realm without any distinction, the time in the form of the sun by expenditure of years and yugas starting with the creation and ending with the dissolution of the universes is called Param Mahan time. So one Param Mahan time is starting with creation and ending with dissolution means it must be the one Param Mahan time must be 311 trillion 400 million years, which is the lifespan of Brahma Ji. That is one Param Mahan of time. Okay. So, since there is an equivalent name given to the divisions of time and the material particles of Paramanu, Anu, and Trasarenu, there are also equivalent name given to time and the material substance called Param Mahan. So, there is, we may call as Paramanu, Anu, Trasarenu, and so on. But these are like milli, centi, micro, etc. It has to be defined. Are you talking about Paramanu of distance or are you talking about Paramanu of time? Okay. So Paramanu can refer to distance, Paramanu can refer to time. Anu can refer to distance and Anu can refer to time. Trasarenu can refer to distance, Trasarenu can refer to time. So therefore, it has to be clarified when you are using the terms Anu, Paramanu, Trasarenu, and all these things, we have to define whether we are talking about time or we are talking about distance. So, like that. So, however, there is difference in the terminologies and sizes of time and objects between these extremes. Okay. अनुर्द्वौ परमाणु स्यात् त्रसरेणुस्त्रयः स्मृतः जालार्करश्म्यवगतः कमेवानुपतन् अगात् अणुर्द्वौ परमाणु स्यात् टू परमाणुस् मेक वन अणु त्रसरेणुस्त्रयः स्मृतः त्री अणुस् मेक वन त्रसरेणु ओके एंड द त्रसरेणु इज परसीव्ड बाय द आई अवगतः सो सिक्स atoms put together, six paramanus together is one trasarenu. And that trasarenu can be seen by the eye. That is the smallest particle that can be seen by the eye. When the sun rays enter through the lattice, one can see it moving up towards the sky. So you must have seen these particles, you know, especially when the morning sun is passing through a lattice, you will see these particles moving up. So those particles which can be seen, they are called as Trasarenu. Okay. So he says two Paramanus make one Anu, three Anus make one Trasarenu. The Trasarenu can be perceived. It can be known as it follows after the air because of its lightness in the rays of the sun entering through a lattice. Another version has Natu Gam Agat. So here he says, Kamevanu Patan Agat. Kameva natu gamagat, you know, that is also another version. So, which means it does not go to the earth, it remains moving about, that is Trasareno. And what is the evidence of Anu and Paramanu? The Trasareno is the evidence. Because Anu and Paramanu cannot be seen, from Trasareno you can understand the existence of Paramanu and Anu. It is a common rule that without having dense and numerous parts, the possessor of the parts cannot be seen. See, this is from the Vaisheshika theory. Okay. The Vedic theory of atoms. So, the Vedic theory of atoms or matter, it says that the particle which is seen must be having must be made of other particles. Must be made of other particles which are dense and numerous. This is a rule. Okay. This is a rule. So the particle which is seen is the Trasareno. Okay. So the Trasareno, if it can be seen, that then the Trasareno must be made of particles, multiple particles, which must have some, which must be dense. So those particles are the Anus. So the Anus, so three Anus make one Trasareno. Okay. So now the Trasareno is the possessor of parts with three gross Anus as its parts. However, the Paramanus are not gross at all. Solidity involves many objects. Thus, the grossness of the Anu depends on the Paramanu. This proves the existence of Paramanu. So, the second rule. So, now that, okay, Trasareno can be seen. So, Trasareno can be seen means any object that can be seen must be made of other particles which are dense and numerous. So, it must be so that, so therefore, Trasareno is made of three Anus. And the Anus are dense and numerous. Okay. So now what is the proof for the presence of Paramanu? Okay. So the next principle is that any gross and dense object, which in which case is Anu. Must involve subtle particles which are not dense. This is the principle. Okay. So therefore, so those subtle particles which are not dense are actually the Paramanus. So two Paramanus make one Anu. And this Anu becomes solid. The two Paramanus are subtle. And when three solid Anus join, it becomes a Trasareno, which can be seen. Okay. From the Trasareno, which can be seen, you can deduce that you can deduce the existence of the Anu, because any object that can be seen, the principle is that must be made of multiple number of solid particles. Okay. So therefore, The three Anus make one Trasarenu, so you can understand the presence of Anu. And how can you understand the presence of Paramanu? Any solid object must be made of multiple number of subtle particles. So Anu is a solid particle, so it must be made of multiple number of subtle particles. The subtle particle is Paramanu, and two Paramanus make one Anu. So from the presence of Trasarenu, you can understand the existence of Anu and Paramanu. That is the principle. Okay. So, okay. Anyways. So here he says the visibility of the Trasarenu is not possible without solid parts. So the solid parts is Anu. Making the Anu solid requires two Paramanus, not three or four, using the logic of accepting the first possibility. Just as Jaimini is the, he is the teacher of the Vaisheshika philosophy. Just as Jaimini argues that three partridges are the minimum requirement for sacrifice. Kapinjala Nyaya. So a minimum of three Anus produce density so that the Trasarenu can be seen. Don't ask me what this Nyaya is, I don't know. There must be some Nyaya. Okay, whatever. Anyways, we don't want to become Vaisheshika philosophers. This is just bare minimum Vaisheshika that is needed. Just so that there is some fixed theory which is governing the functioning of this material universe. That's all. Right? Anyways, so okay, so okay, making the Anu solid requires two Paramanus, not three or four, using the logic of accepting the first possibility. Okay, whatever may be that logic, I don't know. Okay, so now. Trasarenu trikambum te yah kala satruti smritah shatabhagastu vedasyat taistrivistulavasmritah. The time it takes for the sun to pass over three trasarenus is called a truti. As the gopis sing, truti yugayate twama pashyatam vrajati yad bhavan ahanikananam. Truti yugayate twama pashyatam. Like that they say, my dear Krishna, when you go to the forest to herd the cows, one truti is equal to one yuga. Truti yugayate twama pashyatam. Okay, one truti becomes equivalent to a yuga. You know, the experience of time, okay, the relativity. So the time it takes for the sun to pass over three trasarenus is called a truti. 100 trutis make one Veda. Shatabhagastu Veda Syat. And three Vedas make one Lava. Tulayama Lavenapi Naswargam Napunarbhavam. Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya Martyanam Kimutasishah. So Lava is also a very small unit of time. But that Lava is three Vedas, and one Veda is 100 trutis, one truti is three trasarenus, and one trasarenu is three Anus, and one Anu is two Paramanus. So you can imagine how small is a Paramanu of time, but you cannot imagine because you do not know any of these other units. What is a Paramanu, you don't know. What is Anu, you don't know. What is Trasarenu, you don't know. What is a Truti, you don't know. What is a Veda, we don't know. What is a Lava, we don't know yet. Okay. Let's see if we come to some relatable unit of time, because these are unbelievably small units of time. Okay. Then, so he says that three Trasarenus make one Truti. According to Surya Siddhanta, a truti is defined as the time taken for a needle to pierce a lotus leaf. Okay. One lotus leaf, the time it takes to pierce a needle. The lotus leaf is very soft. 100 trutis make one Veda, and three Vedas make a Lava. Nimeshastrilavogneya amnatastetrayakshanah kshanan panchavidukkashtam lagutadashapanchacha. Three Lavas make one Nimesha. Okay. Yugayitam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravrishayitam Shunyayitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Viraheinami. Even Nimesha is a very small unit. Three Nimeshas make one Kshana. One Kshana. Kshanardenapi tulaye na swargam na punarbhavam. Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya Martyanam Kimutasisha. There is another verse. Okay, which is very similar. So, five Kshanas make one Kashta. And 15 Kashtas make one Lagu. Okay. Laguni vai samamnata dasha pancha cha nadika te dve muhurtah praharatah praharah shadyama sapta vandranam. Laguni vai samamnata dasha pancha cha nadika. 15 lagus make one nadika. Dasha pancha. 15 lagus make one nadika. Two nadikas make one muhurta. Okay. Now, for the first time, we are coming to a unit which we can relate to. One muhurta is commonly accepted to be 48 minutes. Okay. One muhurta is accepted to be 48 minutes. Six or seven nadikas make a prahara or a yama for human beings. So, one yama, so the day is divided into Ashtayamas or Ashtaprahara. So 24 hours is 24 hours is one is eight yamas or eight praharas make one 24 hours. So one prahara must be 3 hours roughly, and 3 hours is one prahara. And six or seven nadikas make a prahara. Okay, depending on the length of the day and night, six or seven nadikas make one prahara. Okay, like that. And two nadikas make one muhurta. Okay, if two nadikas make one muhurta, which means roughly 1.5 hours is one muhurta. Six or seven nadikas, sorry, two nadikas make one muhurta, 48 minutes. Then one nadika must be 24 minutes. 24 minutes, one nadika. Six nadikas means 6 into 24 minutes should be about, or seven nadikas, 7 into 24 must be on. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Okay. Yeah, close to 3 hours. Okay. Fine. So we have some relatable units now. One muhurta is roughly about 48 minutes. Okay. So, yeah, one nadika is about 24 minutes. Okay. So six or seven nadikas. Six or seven nadikas make a prahara or a yama. Day and night are divided into four parts. When the day or night is short, then there are six nadikas in a prahara. When the day or night is long, then there are seven nadikas in a prahara. This does not include the nadika of the two sandhyas. Because it is impossible to list all the differences for each day of the year, the time is not fixed. Because, it's based on the rising and setting of the sun. And because the whole time system is based on the movement of the sun as perceived in a particular place by human beings, therefore, you have these provisions, six nadikas or seven nadikas, depending on the length of the day, like that. Anyways, ओके, द्वादशार्दपलोन्मानम् चतुरङ्गुलैः स्वर्णमाशयकृतच्छिद्रम् यावत् प्रस्तजलप्लुतम्। उन्मानम्, सो नाउ ही इज नाउ डिस्क्राइबिंग हाउ डू यू मेशर, वॉट इज द एक्चुअल यू नो मेजरमेंट ऑफ अ नाडिका और अ दंड। ओके, सो नाडिका और अ दंड, सो हियर ही सेज दैट द मेजरिंग पॉट फॉर वन नाडिका और दंड कैन बी प्रिपेयर्ड विथ अ सिक्स पाल वेट, 14 ounce, द्वादशार्ध पलो उन्मानम। सो यू टेक अ 14 ounce मेजरिंग पॉट ऑफ कॉपर, बिकॉज कॉपर हैज अ पर्टिकुलर डेंसिटी, यू नो एनी मेटल हैज अ पर्टिकुलर डेंसिटी। ओके, एंड सो यू टेक अ कॉपर पॉट विथ अ पर्टिकुलर डेंसिटी। ओके, एंड and then the weight is also given. Okay. So now, why these two are given? Because in order to define volume, okay, because the volume of water which will be held within that pot. Okay. So therefore, if you take so density equals weight by volume. So if you know, because it is copper, so you know its density, and because you already know its weight, so you have a particular volume, okay, of water that will be held within that. Okay. So therefore, by defining the metal, which is copper, and the weight of that, you are indirectly indicating the volume, okay, in which a hole is bored, kritachidram, with a gold probe weighing 4 masha, swarna chaturbir mashaihi. Okay, when you take a golden probe, a golden probe, with that you have to drill a hole in that copper, and that golden probe should be weighing 4 mashas and measuring 4 fingers long, chaturangulaihi. So now, why this is given? Because if you have a probe, a golden probe will be cylindrical. Okay. A golden probe will be cylindrical, so therefore cylindrical means you know the volume is pi r square h, right? So, and you know the density of gold. Okay. So now, when you know the density of gold, and the weight of gold, okay, the weight is also given 4 masha. So when you know the density and weight, then you know the volume. So when you know the volume, when the volume is a known quantity, and the length is given 4 fingers long, so when you know the volume and you know the height, then you can figure out the radius. So basically, by giving the length of the probe, the material of the probe, and weight of the probe, basically indirectly what he is mentioning is he is indicating the radius or diameter of the probe. So basically, what he is indicating is what is the, instead of telling, put a hole of 1 millimeter diameter, he is indirectly telling, because assuming that measuring distance is difficult, and apparently measuring weight is easier with that assumption. So therefore, he is giving everything in terms of weight. You take a golden probe, which is 4 fingers long. Apparently, longer distances are easy to measure. Okay. 4 fingers long and weighing 4 mashas. Okay. So, which means it indicates it has to have a particular diameter. Okay. Anyways, this is all theory. Okay. Don't get too caught up, you know. It's not a problem. You know, no one is asking you to exactly understand, but just that, you know, there is science involved, just to communicate that, you know, I'm saying like this. When the pot is placed on water, the time before the water overflows in the pot is called one danda or one nadika. So when you take a pot of made of copper with a particular, which can hold a particular volume, and you drill a small hole at the top, at the bottom of that pot, and put it in water, the time it takes for that water to overflow through that small hole, that is called one nadika. Anyways, doesn't matter. Don't get too caught up with all these things. So this verse defines the length of the nadika. Unmanam means that by which something is measured. Here it refers to a copper pot weight of 6 palas. 64 mashas make 1 pala. One should make a hole in the pot using a golden needle, 4 fingers in length and weighing 4 mashas. 5 gunjas make 1 masha. Okay. The time it takes for 1 prastha of water to enter the vessel and fill it is a nadika. If the weight of the vessel is more or the hole is larger, then the pot will sink more quickly. Therefore, all these things are mentioned. What should be the specific dimension of the pot, what should be the specific dimension of the hole, what should be the weight of the pot and everything, right? Anyways, if the vessel is lighter and the hole is smaller, the pot will sink more slowly. Thus, the exact weight of the pot and the size of the hole are specified. If the needle is made of silver and the same length and weight, the hole will be bigger. Why? Because silver is less denser than gold. Therefore, a silver needle of the same weight and same length would be broader. Right? So, anyways, all these things, you know. Yamas chatvaras chatvaro martyana mahani ube. Pakshah panchadashahani shukla krishnascha manada. For the human beings, there are 4 yamas in the day and 4 yamas in the night. There are 15 days in the waxing phase of the moon and 15 days in the waning phase of the moon. So, 4 plus 4, ashtayama makes 1 full day for human beings. 15 such days make 1 paksha. And 2 pakshas make 1 month, right? Krishna Paksha, Shukla Paksha, like that. Okay. Tayoho samuchayo masaha pitrinam tadahar nisham dhauta vrutus shadayanam dakshinam chottaram divi ayane chahani prahur vatsaro dvadasha smritaha samvatsarashatam rinam paramayur nirupitam. 2 fortnights are 1 month. 2 pakshas make 1 masa. This total is a day and night for the Pitrus. For the Pitrus, our 1 month is 1 full day, 1 full day and night for the Pitrus. Okay. And our 1 year is 1 full day and night for the Devatas, like that. So the 2 fortnights are 1 month. This total is a day and night for the Pitrus. 2 months make a season. So 2 months roughly make a season, a ritu. There are 6 ritus, right? 6 months make a southern half of a year, which is called as ayana. Shad ayanam दक्षिणम च उत्तरम, सो सिक्स मंथ्स मेक वन आयना एंड टू आयनास मेक अ ईयर, ओके, दिवि आयने चाहनि प्राहु, टू हाफ ईयर्स मेक अ डे एंड नाइट फॉर द देवतास इन हेवन, सो वन फुल ईयर इज वन डे एंड नाइट, ओके, वत्सरो द्वादश स्मृतः, 12 months मेक अ ईयर, 100 years इज डिस्क्राइब्ड एज द ड्यूरेशन ऑफ लाइफ ऑफ ह्यूमन बीइंग्स जनरली, ओके, सो देन दिवी इज कनेक्टेड द नेक्स्ट वर्स, टू हाफ ईयर्स मेक वन डे एंड नाइट फॉर द देवतास इन हेवन, 12 months मेक अ ईयर, ग्रहरक्षतारा चक्रस्थः परमाण्वादिना जगत् संवत्सरावसानेन पर्येत्यमि अनिमिषो विभुः, द सन हु इज विच इज अ पोर्शन ऑफ सुप्रीम लॉर्ड इन द फॉर्म ऑफ टाइम सिचुएटेड इन द जोडियाक बेल्ट अमंग द प्लैनेट्स 27 कॉन्स्टलेशंस एंड अदर कॉन्स्टलेशंस ट्रैवल्स इन अ सर्कल थ्रू द यूनिवर्स विद द मेजरमेंट्स ऑफ टाइम फ्रॉम द परमाणु टू द फुल ईयर, सो You know, the sun, when it covers one Paramanu, it takes one Paramanu time. And when it makes one full, comes one full circle around the earth, it is called one Paramanu year, one full year, like that. So this verse explains the sun decreases the lifespan by rising and setting. The sun is situated in the circle of the planets, such as the moon, the constellations such as Ashwini and the stars, meaning the other constellations are not included in the 27 constellations. The sun, who is a portion of the Lord, the form of time, travels around the universe. Now, samvatsara parivatsara idavatsara evacha anuvatsaro vatsarascha viduraivam prabhashyate. Okay, there are many types of years. Okay, based on various considerations, that's what he's indicating here. He says, O Vidura, Samvatsara, the sun's full revolution through the zodiac belt is called a Samvatsara. Parivatsara, the full revolution of Jupiter through the zodiac is called Parivatsara. The time it takes for Jupiter to come around the zodiac belt is called a Parivatsara. The year for 27 constellations is called a Vatsara. That the constellations, the time that takes for them to come around the zodiac belt is called as one Vatsara. Anuvatsara is one lunar year. Idavatsara. The remaining constellations have a year which is called as Idavatsara. Okay. So the planets, constellations, and other constellations have been described. This verse gives the different names of the years for the orbiting sun and other heavenly planets. One year for the sun is called a Samvatsara. One year for the Jupiter is called as a Parivatsara, which takes 11.87 years to come around the zodiac belt once. One year for the moon is called an Anuvatsara, which takes little less than the sun. It takes about 327.6 days. A lunar year is 12 lunar months from full moon to full moon. Okay, it is about 28 days. Since there is no orbital motion of the constellation, time is measured using the moon's movement. For the 27 constellations, 12 months of 27 days makes a Vatsara. So the 27 constellations take roughly around 27 days to come around the zodiac belt. So therefore, it is called a Vatsara. It has 324 days. Because there is no measuring system in relation to the remaining constellations, they have a year called as Idavatsara, with solar months of 30 days, which means 360 days is one year. Anyways, these are just some, not irrelevant details, relevant details, but may not be necessarily immediately relevant for us, just to say, ultimately atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanamutaya manvantaresha anukata nirodho muktirashraya. So all 10 topics must be covered in a particular Purana. Want them to speak of the greatest of all Puranas, which is Bhagavatam, and as a part of description of the Sarga or creation is an understanding of the divisions of time. So let's just complete this one verse. यसृज्यशक्तिम् यसृज्यशक्तिमुरुदोच्छ्वसयन् स्वशक्त्या पुंसो भ्रमाय दिविधावति भूतभेदः कालाख्यया गुणमयम् क्रतुभिर्वितन्वम् तस्मै बलिम् हरत वत्सर पञ्चकाय. ओके, सो ही सेज द सन् मेड आउट ऑफ पर्टिकुलर मटेरियल एलिमेंट्स मूव्स इन द स्काई displaying with force the ability of plants to germinate. So when the sun moves, depending on the nature of that seed, according to particular times during the year and the day, it facilitates the germination of particular seeds. Okay. Through his energy of time, kalakyaya swashaktya. Through its energy of time, it makes the seeds to germinate. Okay. So, and producing material results by means of ritual actions according to proper calculation of time in order to dispel illusion of men. So there is, auspicious times, inauspicious times. Everything every time all those times are calculated based on the movements of the sun. Okay, so he says tasmai balim harata vatsara panchakaya, O performers of dharma, you should make offerings to the sun for promoting the five types of year, which means expression of gratitude. So that's what he says, in order to dispel the illusion of men. So because sun by its mere movement is giving the human beings an understanding of what is auspicious, what is inauspicious, and facilitating the performance of particular rituals for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, for the satisfaction of the Devatas, for the satisfaction of Pitrus, and all of that is facilitated by the sun. Therefore, one should make offerings to the sun as an expression of that gratitude. That is what it means. So he says, one may ask the purpose of having five different types of years. The religious acts accomplished by the various calculations of a year are described in this verse. The sun, which is a particular form of elements, in the form of a ball of fire moves in the sky, revealing strongly in the form of time the ability of plants to germinate. Why does it move in the sky? He increases the results, such as attainment of swarga, of those with material desires, in order to destroy the confusion for men. By actions performed with knowledge of the correct time for those actions according to the samvatsara and the other types of years. So, during the day, there are marriages and other auspicious things performed only on particular days which are auspicious, and even that is performed at particular times which are auspicious, especially when it comes to the practice of karma. You see, there are auspicious times even during the day. There is, Yamaganda, Rahu Kala, and all those things, which are all facilitated by, which are all, facilitated by the movement of the sun. And definitely, these times are auspicious, inauspicious, like that. So, O followers of Dharma, you should offer articles of worship such as Argya to the sun in order to set in motion the five types of year. Okay. So that everything happens auspiciously as an expression of gratitude, we should express our gratitude to sun by offering articles like Argya, Achamani, etc. To worship the sun like that. Anyways, this is about divisions of time, which is based on the movement of sun. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add, we can take. There is something already in the chat box. What is Trasareno? We have already discussed that. Okay, next thing. Reno means dust particles, meaning three anus together can be seen floating particle. Yeah, three anus together. Yeah, can be seen. Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Maharaj, Katvanga in one Muhurta concentrated on Lord and attained the spiritual world. Well, oftentimes these units of time may not be necessarily used in a very literal sense. Sometimes they are used in very literal sense, where one Muhurta exactly means 48 minutes. And sometimes it may not refer to exactly 48 minutes like that. Okay. What is Sandhya in the context of Nadika? I don't know exactly. I am not very sure. Maybe two Nadikas make one Sandhya. I think one Sandhya is also 48 minutes, I guess. I don't know. I will have to confirm that. Okay. Radha Pramod Prabhu has shared the measurements. I will just share that screen. Just give me a second. Okay. Okay, one Paramanu is the time for the sun to pass through one Paramanu distance. One Anu is two Paramanus. One Trasarenu is three Anus. One Truti is three Trasarenus. So one Truti, we have a calculation which is 8 by 13,500th of a second. So, and 1/3 of that is one Trasarenu. 1/6 of that is one Anu. Yeah, something like that, you know, just for your calculation, just in case if you are curious. Anyways, this is the Vedic measurement of time from Vedic measurement of distance. Yes, as we saw, Atra Sargo Visargascha Sthanam Poshanam Utayah Manvantaresha Anukata Nirodho Muktirashraya. So all 10 topics are essential. They are all connected to the Supreme Lord. So in order to completely understand the subject matter of a Purana, one should understand the 10 topics also. But the beauty of understanding these other 9 topics through Srimad Bhagavatam is that Dashamasya Vishuddhyartham Navanam Ihalakshanam Varnayante Mahatmanah Shrutena Artena Cha Anjasa. When we understand the other 9 topics through the descriptions of Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam assures that understanding these other 9 topics is very much, the other 9 topics are presented in such a way that it enhances our appreciation of the 10th topic of Krishna. Like that. We may not currently understand how exactly it is enhancing my appreciation of Krishna, but definitely the speaker of Bhagavatam knows, he does, how scientifically, gradually, hearing the description of the other 9 topics through Srimad Bhagavatam gradually enhances one's appreciation of Krishna. Anyways, but thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will pause here and continue this discussion tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.